Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't pressure you with coming up with material. We come up with all the material ourselves. But actually, the news media writes 75% of the material. And then the other 25%, we come up with basically extemporaneously on the spot here at the Weekly Worldview. And that helps focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And it's great to have everybody with us. We are in the midst of the Memorial Day holiday, and I want to remind all of us that it's not just about barbecue and getting the day off, although every one of those who gave their lives for the American ideal would want you to do that. It's about remembering them, and more importantly, remembering the American ideal that they gave their lives for, which was God, country, and family. God first, right? And then they were serving their country, so country was next for them because they were on the front lines. And then family, which all leads back to God, which is what Memorial Day is all about. And we're grateful and thankful that God has given us an ideal to uphold. And we honor those who gave their lives in defense of that ideal. Now, I want to start with the war in Ukraine? That seems awfully, that seems inappropriate at this point, but I can't start with the stories about the FBI because I just mentioned the American ideal and that would get everybody depressed. Oh, here we go. How about this? Now, this isn't from America, but it is directly related to America because America is the cradle of all civilizational advancement for the last 400 years. Everything can be traced back to the American ideal. U.S. News reports that a Dutch man who was paralyzed, his legs were paralyzed in a bicycle accident about a decade ago, 11 years ago. Gert-Jan Oskam suffered a spinal cord injury, tragically lost the ability to walk. He has now received a brain implant that picks up signals of movement that in a healthy person would travel down the spinal cord. But that doesn't happen for Gert-Jan Oskam. That doesn't happen. So instead, he now has a brain implant that transmits those signals wirelessly to a second implant located in his lower spine. That implant stimulates the muscles of his legs into action. He's moving his legs with his mind, with his brain. It's pretty amazing, huh? This is all happening in Holland, but I can assure you there are Americans involved. Meanwhile, here in America, Elon Musk's Neuralink has received FDA approval to begin human studies of brain implants. And I've been following the story on all my alternate news sites. I read another story right next to this one about how the chemtrails are designed to blot out the sun and turn us all gay. So you have to be able to look at the news, and you have to be able to sort out what's real and what's not. And I can tell you what is real. I doubt the chemtrails with the blotting out of the sun and the turning everyone gay. I doubt that. I'm not saying I'm going to dismiss you if you are open to that. I'm open to the idea. After 2020, I don't dismiss any conspiracy theory nearly as easily as I used to. But the chemtrails turning all the chickens gay and blotting out the sun and changing the weather, I just kind of have a hard time with that. But I do understand that people are nervous about the FDA approving Neuralink for brain implants. Let me just read the story. Neuralink has received approval for human studies to use its brain implant and surgical robot for trials on actual live human patients. But Neuralink declined to provide more details. Neuralink and Musk did not respond to Reuters' requests for comments either. And so people are, well, listen, unfortunately, it's tragic that trust in medical research has been so eroded, especially recently and rapidly, by leftist politics and unethical behavior. It's tragic. Historians will look back one day on this moment in the history of medical research and scientific advancement, and they'll just say, they were that close! And then they all flipped out and they lost it. Anyway, it's very sad, because Elon Musk's Neuralink probably has the capability to do some wonderful things and help people. But a lot of people are scared now about all the creeps and the weirdos and the freaks and the queers and the despots and the maniacs and the tyrants and the criminally insane sex cult that sees the world. And so people are hesitant. But great news out of Holland. He's a Dutch man, which means he's from Holland, which means he lives in the Netherlands. Try to figure that one out. And so there we have that. Some good news and it's a reality check for everyone who's worried about the medical officials and the establishment who want to make people sick and kill people. I used to think that was crazy talk. But it's just not as crazy as it used to be. Now, let's go to the old-fashioned war file. This is old-fashioned war, not the new kind that's at the apparel section at the department store and the target is your five-year-old. That's the new kind of war. Let's talk about some old-fashioned war where the Wagner chief, Yevgeny Prigozhin, so he is the chief executive officer of the Wagner Group, which is a mercenary army, an army for hire, basically. Well, that's what they act like they are. What they are is simply the only competent division of the Russian army, is what they actually are. Zero Hedge reports that the mercenary group lost 20,000 fighters at Bakhmut. We reported the fall of Bakhmut last week. Wagner Group took Bakhmut. They lost 20,000 fighters, half of which were convicts who had been recruited directly out of prison onto the front lines. And now Yevgeny Prigozhin is ranting and raving about the war has backfired, and he's saying some things that are, well, he just says that Russia sought to demilitarize Ukraine, but has instead militarized it with some of the best weapons in the world. If they had 500 tanks, now they have 5,000. If they had 20,000 men able to fight, now they have 400,000 men able to fight. He says they, Ukraine, meaning NATO, have high level of organization, high level of training, a high level of intelligence. So they have various weapons, and moreover, they work on any system, Soviet, NATO, anything, equally successfully. So Prigozhin is lamenting the fact that NATO is being allowed to build a successful military force that could defeat Russia. And it could, because let's face it, NATO could defeat Russia, at least in Ukraine. And perhaps Yevgeny Prigozhin has gone from being an oligarch that runs the most successful division in the Russian army to wanting to be the czar of Russia, maybe. Why not, right? Be like Julius Caesar, who went out and conquered the world and came back and conquered Rome. Why not? As long as you're on a roll. By the way, the Wagner Group has been on a roll since 2014, when they seized Crimea for Vladimir Putin, because Putin's inept army couldn't do it. So he had to hire a bunch of mercenaries. All right, now, speaking of Caesar conquering Rome, let's check in with the FBI, where the headline at andmagazine.substack.com Sam Faddis writes that the FBI has crossed the Rubicon. Now, cross the Rubicon is a term that people use, but they have no idea what it means. We've all heard it, but nobody knows what it actually means. They just know it means big trouble. Something's not good. Somebody's crossed the Rubicon. Well, Sam Faddis explains the expression crossing the Rubicon refers to the actions of Julius Caesar in crossing the Rubicon River and marching on Rome. Roman armies were forbidden to do so. The rule was very practical. The Romans understood the danger of allowing a large armed force to march on the capital city. To allow this might spell the end of the Republic. Best that generals and their armies stay a safe distance away and respect the democratic institutions at the heart of Roman democracy and the Roman Republic. Julius Caesar broke this rule. He marched on Rome. The rest is history. Within a generation, there was no republic. There was the emperors. So, Faddis says the FBI, here in America, the FBI has crossed the Rubicon. The FBI has taken similar action as Julius Caesar. It will do what it pleases, and the consequences be damned. The FBI no longer answers to the American people, nor their elected representatives, nor does it care what any of them think, writes Sam Faddis. Most importantly, the FBI is not chastened when they are caught. They're not scrambling to change course or make reforms and nobody gets fired. The FBI does not believe it's done anything wrong. And so do I need to spell out all the crimes and sins of the FBI as of late? I don't think I have to. I think everybody pretty much knows. With the covering up of the Hunter Biden, right, and the persecution of the whistleblowers, and the stolen 2020 election and all of that. And all of the corruption that's going on, it's all managed from FBI headquarters by Michelle Obama and her mom, and some advice from Barack and I'll just leave it at that. Some input from Barack. Okay. So the FBI has crossed the Rubicon. And here's the thing. A bureaucracy is much more difficult to fight and a lot harder to kill than one man, one general. Julius Caesar, had the Senate had their act together back then, Julius Caesar could have been taken out, and eventually he was, but of course it was a little late by then. But one man is a lot easier to kill than a giant bureaucracy that's been building for the better part of a century. A corrupt bunch of criminally insane sex perverts have been accumulating power in Washington, D.C. for the better part of a century, and they have accumulated most of it within the FBI, and now the FBI is asserting its authority over America, and there's nobody to stop them. I mean, the military could, but the military's been transfagotized. I don't know what the military is doing. But I'm not going to look to them, and certainly there's no civilian authority that has any ability to resist or impede the FBI's will in any way. At this point, there's no one I can see. So unless a general stands up and says, this is it, we're going to draw the line, and draws the line on the FBI, I just don't see, I see the end of, well, I've already seen the end of what we thought and the way we were. And the way things seem to be. And, you know, back when you had to at least dress up and cover up the wickedness and the sinfulness and the evil in order to appeal to some outside authority, that's all past. And all the criminally insane perverts in Washington, they're just taking off the mask and they're lighting up the bonfire, summoning up the beast and setting upon their way to make havoc and destruction and destroy the souls of as many people as they can and destroy the soul of America while they're at it. And here on Memorial Day, I just want to stand up and say, I notice, I've taken notice. the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us. I meant to say I'm putting them on notice is what I meant to say. You know what I meant to say. I'm putting all the criminally insane perverts on notice that there are red-blooded Americans out here who have noticed what you're up to, and we're sick of it, and we're going to push back. Well, I've been pushing back as much as I can for the most of my adult life, as best as I could without... Well, I guess the thing is I never risked actual imprisonment of any significance. And maybe I should have. That'll be a shame if in the end we find out that it was our own desire for comfort and entertainment that kept us from preserving our civilization. We got too distracted by our own appetites. And I have a feeling that's it's unfortunate, and nobody wants to hear that, but let's go to the politics file, where Rachel Rollins is a U.S. attorney installed in an election where her election was backed by George Soros. She is a Soros-backed federal prosecutor for the District of Massachusetts. And she resigned last week. What? She resigned? How do a leftist politician was forced to resign? How does that happen? Well, the inspector general found evidence that she lied to investigators to influence an election and then referred criminal charges to the Department of Justice. So she must have really upset someone on her own side. Because that's the thing about the Marxists, is they destroy their enemies and then they immediately, if not sooner, begin destroying themselves. And so Rachel's obviously a victim of that, but only a limited victim. Yes, she did have to resign. Yes, she did face criminal charges. What happened? Rollins was able to acquire non-public and sensitive information as a result of her government position. She leaked that information to the press in order to harm a political rival. And the worst thing is she was caught. See, when she obviously didn't pay attention at the seminar, and she got caught. Rachel Rollins, as I said, U.S. attorney for the District of Massachusetts, was a Soros-backed federal prosecutor. And by the way, she was confirmed when Vice President Kamala Harris cast the tie-breaking vote in the Senate back in 2021. Yeah, I know. Kamala Harris actually, yes. She did have an impact on America. The one time she cast, I don't know if this was the one time, but it was one of the more dramatic moments where she cast the deciding vote in order to elevate a woman, the first trans woman, the first gay woman, the first black woman, the first Hispanic, transgender, disabled woman. I forget which one this was. But Rachel Rollins was one of those first women to ever the first one. And there was much to-do made about it when the tie-breaking vote was cast by the first Mediterranean, trans-Caribbean vice president of the female persuasion cast the tie-breaking vote. And so Rachel then got caught. Criminal charges were referred to the Department of Justice. But the Department of Justice noticed that there's nobody to enforce the law over them. And so they've just dropped all charges against. They just dropped the charges because they were like, okay, well, she's on our team. You know, obviously she got caught. She needed to be punished. But I mean, actual criminal charges? Please. Who's going to hold us responsible? And so they just dropped the charges because they could. And they will. And as far as I can tell, there's nobody to do anything about it. I mean, except God in the next life. Or, well, that's it. That's it. There's nobody else. And so, meanwhile, the IRS opened a case against Matt Taibbi. They opened a case looking into his taxes, you know, to make sure that he's paying his fair share. When did they open the case? On Christmas Eve 2022, which just happened to coincide with a major Twitter Files report on the FBI that Matt Taibbi was dropping at the moment. So here's how arrogant these bastards are. On the day he drops the report, They open a case looking into his taxes, which back when America was America and there was some fragments and fibers of the American ideal still operating in the system, that would have made people say, well, wait a minute. You opened this investigation against him on the day he reported on your nefarious behavior? And then there would have been some sort of investigation, and the FBI would have been, someone would have been fired, and someone would have had to resign, and somebody may have even been charged criminally. But now the FBI opens the investigation on the day, just so later they can scare other people and say, you know what, we'll open the investigation on the day you do it, and then we'll drive you out of business, we'll break you, we'll put you in jail, and there's nothing you can do against us. That's how arrogant they are. An IRS agent visited his home unannounced on the day he testified in front of the House subcommittee investigating the Twitter files on the IRS. On the day! They come to his house on the day! I'm telling you, that's scary stuff. That is... talk about crossing the Rubicon. They crossed the threshold into the guy's living room on the day he was testifying to their political rivals. And their political rivals have virtually no authority to do anything. They've been asking the FBI for documents for 3 weeks, and the FBI just laughs and says, what are you going to do? You going to call the FBI? The Republicans... they look so weak. I certainly hope someone is orchestrating a coup within the military, because if that doesn't happen, it's over. There's no one to stop these people. All right. We've got Planned Parenthood. From the Death After Roe file, we've got a headline from AmericanGreatness.com. AmGreatness.com. Planned Parenthood is announcing layoffs. And so if the leftist news media was not able to admit that there's a recession going on, because as just about every major corporation in America has laid off hundreds, thousands, or tens of thousands of people over the past 6 or 8 months, normally if there was a Republican in the White House, it would be the worst economy in a generation. Layoffs. Every day you'd see it, soup lines. But there's been ne'er a report of any layoffs anywhere in the economy. But now that Planned Parenthood has announced layoffs, perhaps the leftist news media will be distressed. Because anyway, we've got the article talks about the state of Planned Parenthood's business model at the moment. They remind us that last year in June, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decision in the Dobbs case. The Dobbs decision, which ultimately ended the precedent of abortion being a nationwide right and instead referred the matter back to the states. So that's according to the reporter at amgreatness.com, which is an alternate right-wing news site. So you'd think that the author here is a conservative, and I'm sure he is. But what he just wrote is not true, because the Dobbs decision didn't refer the matter of legalized child killing back to the states. The states never officially had that. They never had that authority. The states didn't. In fact, that's why the left, the criminal maniacs on the left, engineered the Roe versus Wade case, because it was quite possible and highly likely that the states that had begun legalizing the killing of innocent children were going to be overridden by the federal government. The same way the federal government overrode the states on the issue of slavery, the left was afraid that the federal government was going to overrule the various states that had begun legalizing the murder of innocent children. States like Mississippi, Colorado, California, and New York in the late 60s. And so they engineered a case to get it into federal court in front of a bunch of pervert judges, a bunch of pervert lawyers in black robes, and the Roe decision carried the day. It never gave anyone the right to do anything. It simply allowed Americans to do what we wanted to do, which was have the option to kill inconvenient people, and which we've been doing now, legally, under color of law anyway, for the better part of 60 years, and the overturning of Roe changed virtually nothing. In fact, the overturning of Roe was the loss of the war. People say we won a victory. Yeah, well, how can you say you won a victory when you gave away the whole point of the war, which was the right to life? The overturning of Roe basically took the right to life. Okay, I've said it before. I don't want to beat a dead horse. But everyone is out there celebrating. That it would be like sacrificing Washington, D.C. in order to win the Battle of Iwo Jima. We're going to give them D.C., we're going to give them the nation, but we're going to win this. That's what it would have been like. If anybody has any historical ability to understand what I'm even talking about. That's what it would have been like. That's what's happened. So anyway, Planned Parenthood staffers have been told now to prepare for layoffs. And you read this article and you're thinking, we're winning! Planned Parenthood, they can't do abortions anymore, so they have to lay people off. They're going to lay off between 10 and 20% of their national headquarters staff, which is about 80 people. And then Planned Parenthood says they're going to simply reimagine our national operations, including an investment of $70 million into various affiliates. So you see what's happening at Planned Parenthood is the same thing that's happening in the pro-choice industry and the pro-life industry. The pro-choice industry is a bunch of left-wing fundraisers who make their living raising money, screaming about people threatening the right to access to abortion. And they generate millions of dollars and salaries and retirements and 401ks. And then you have the pro-life industry on the other side. They scream and send out fundraising letters about, oh, they're killing babies, baby, killing babies. And they raise millions and millions of dollars and generate salaries and retirements and 401ks. And then you've got the actual child killers, Planned Parenthood. All three of those industry players are now... Well, the child killers and the pro-choice and pro-life industry that they spawned, they're now simply moving from centralized efforts in D.C. to a more kind of franchise-oriented model in order to better serve their customers with a well-regulated state-by-state child killing and fundraising apparatus, which is what it all boils down to anymore, because the right to life is off the table. So there's no one out there advocating for the God-given right to life as elucidated and protected in the United States Constitution. There's no one advocating for that anymore. It's now just which city, which organization are we going to target for efforts? And the franchisees will line up, and they'll send out the fundraising letters, and Planned Parenthood will focus on strengthening this franchise or that franchise. And the child killing will move further and further away from surgical murder to chemically induced child killing. And the right to life is off the table, and we're just all participating in a dark, dark, grotesque industry. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. We'll move out away from Planned Parenthood and just well, as we're here, it's Memorial Day weekend. Everybody gets an extra day off. I'll be spending my extra day off trying to get my head around the book of Exodus. So we recently finished our Bible study on Romans. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, please check it out. Before that, we did Acts. So we've done now Genesis, John, Acts, Romans, and now Exodus is coming up. I open up the beginning of Exodus and I realize it's an enormous responsibility to try to talk about the Bible to other people. And so I'm going to spend my extra day off, Memorial Day. I'll remember the veterans who gave their lives. Yes, yes. But more importantly, I'll be working on understanding the beginning chapters of Exodus and actually the end of Genesis too, because it's kind of all one. Well, you'll see if you get a chance. Check it out. And meanwhile, during the past week or two, I've also undertaken some efforts, some activities in order to reconnect with my redneck, hick, white trash roots. Because I realize that I'm a member of one of the most affluent and privileged generations in the history of mankind. And if a man lingers too long in this overly affluent, overly entertained, overly convenient, overly soft, urban and suburban world, you lose touch with what our forefathers had to do to make life so easy for us, which I almost wish some of it they wouldn't have done, because they made it too easy, and I find myself making life too easy for my kids. And I want to stop myself, and I'm not sure how. Anyway, so what I did this past week was I replaced the rotors and brake pads on one of the vehicles here at the McBurney compound, laying down on the ground, crawling around under the car, jacking it up, right, banging on things with a hammer, twisting on things with a wrench. And one of the things I realized is that the concept of disc brakes, well, it must be one of the most perfect concepts, one of the most perfect engineering concepts to have ever been implemented on the planet. Because the last time I changed disc brakes on a vehicle was at least 25 years ago. That's how long I've been letting other people worry about my brakes. And I could have let someone else worry about my brakes this time too. But I needed to reconnect with my redneck, hick, white trash roots, which is where I come from. Where I come from, nobody else fixed your car for you because you couldn't afford that. Only rich people could afford to have other people working on their car. So you had to do it yourself. And I did it myself up until I became a part of the most affluent, soft, privileged generations in the history of civilization. And so, but anyway, not much has changed with the disc brakes. It was exactly the same as I remember it 25 years ago. Everything was exactly the same. So kudos, hats off, hat tip to whoever came up with disc brakes. Talk about a design with significant endurance. Very impressive. Very impressive. And it wasn't that hard either. That was the one thing I always liked about disc brakes, because I used to work on the shoes. I don't know if you ever worked on drum brakes with shoes. Just a nightmare. Just awful.
How about roof?
What? Roof? Roofing. Oh, don't even get me started on roofing. But anyway, the improvement of disc brakes over the old drum and shoe brakes was just amazing. And so I want to thank whoever came up with the disc brakes, because, well, any of you who've done the drums and shoes, I don't have to tell you. You know how it is. All right. So there. I just read an article before I went on the air about testosterone levels dropping. And not just in geezers like me. That's natural. It's supposed to drop. But we're talking like teenagers, guys in their 20s and 30s, their testosterone's dropping down through the... I think a lot of it has to do with letting other guys work on your car. I mean, you let another man work on your car long enough, you start losing your... Anyway. Just try to relate, right, to our forefathers who didn't have it as easy as we did. Sometimes you have to force yourself into activities that can reconnect you with the time. Like, put the video games down. Put the video games down and go out and get your hands dirty. All right, now speaking of getting your hands dirty, we go to the Mask Off file where we check in with Hunter College professor Shelly Ann Rodriguez. Uh-huh. You may remember Shelly Ann because she was caught on camera earlier this month, May 2023, hurling expletives at pro-life students. The pro-life students had set up a table on a college campus there at Hunter College where Professor Shelly Ann Rodriguez professes. They had set up a table and they were handing out pamphlets that implied that unborn children were of value. In fact, that unborn children were of infinite value to an almighty God, and that they were created in the image of God. And so Hunter College professor Shelly Ann Rodriguez freaked out, started cursing at them. I can't even say what she said on the show because, well, it was laden with expletives as post-abortive Hunter College professor Shelly Ann Rodriguez flipped out on the pro-lifers. So anyway, the video goes viral, and a reporter, Reuven Fenton, and a photographer decided to go and visit Shelly Ann at her house, at her apartment, and ask her about, why did you flip out on the pro-lifers? Can we help you? Maybe they were going to ask her how old she was when she murdered her first child. That might be what they were going to ask her. But they didn't get a chance. They knocked on her door, right? They knocked on her door to interview her, and she immediately opened the door, started cursing at them, right? She starts cursing at them, and then she whips out a machete and puts it to the neck of the reporter. Ooh. A machete, I said. She then... Listen to this. She then chased the journalist out into the street with a machete in her hand. Yes, she starts chasing them down the street, chasing them down the sidewalk, forcing them to run into the middle of a busy roadway. Why did they run into the busy street? Because a crazy woman was chasing them with a machete. So you know if you have to run into traffic, something bad is going on. Yeah, like a flaming maniac with a machete in her hand. Yeah. So you have to check this out. I won't link to it because it's at the New York Post, and I can't link to the New York Post. But just look up Shelly Ann Rodriguez. Better yet, look up the reporter's name, Reuven, R-E-U-V-E-N, Reuven Fenton. Just Google him, and you'll see all this. It's amazing. And she's screaming and shrieking profanities and vulgarities, waving a machete. If I'm there, I'm thinking this woman's going to kill me. She's going to actually slice my neck with that machete. So I can't say what she said. But anyway, she put the blade to one man's neck. She then chases them out of the apartment into the street with a machete. What's her punishment? She's been fired from Hunter College. She was an art professor. She professed things about art at Hunter College. So at least as we go to air today, a Sunday before Memorial Day 2023, she has not been arrested. So how do you chase someone with a machete on videotape and not get arrested? Oh, that's it. You got to be a pro-abort member of the criminally deranged cult that has seized power, and then you're given a pass on chasing Christians with a machete. If this woman is not arrested, I'm telling you it's a matter of time before the left can start openly, publicly advocating and advertising for the murder of Christians. If this woman is not arrested and charged with maybe attempted murder, I would call it attempted murder. When you get that close to somebody's neck with a machete, and you're agitated and the situation is fluid, bad things can happen. But at least as we go to air, maybe the justice system is slow moving. It's a justice system after all. They might be trying to figure out what can we charge her with. Gee, there's a machete and she's screaming and she's waving. She put it right by his neck, but he's a Christian. So, we're not sure if that's a crime. So that maybe they'll figure out, they'll get her for unlawful brandishing of cutlery or something like that. Perhaps they'll come up with a charge. All right. Meanwhile, we return to Dodger Stadium, where last week we naively celebrated the fact that the all the normal Mexicans in L.A. had talked the Dodgers into not letting the trans drag queen freaks desecrate Dodger Stadium in front of all the Mexican children. But little did the Mexicans know they were going to go up against the California Teachers Union, which is a bunch of post-abortive, clenched-jawed, leftist white chicks. And anyway, the clenched-jawed white chicks, the post-abortive lesbians who run the California Teachers Unions, what did they do? They listened to this. They issued a statement. The California Teachers Union... they issued a statement on Sunday. We were celebrating here at the Weekly Worldview. On Monday, the freak lesbian maniacs at the California Teachers Union issue a statement saying LGBT rights are under attack. 45% of LGBTQ youth report seriously considering committing suicide. We should be leading with love. Rather than sowing division, Dodgers. That was the statement from the lesbian post-abortive clenched-jawed white chicks at the California Teachers Union. And then they said, our students are watching what happens on and off the field. Did we mention that they consider suicide? Did we mention suicide? At which point the Dodgers gave in. And the Dodgers have now decided to reinvite the drag queens to the June 16th home game against the San Francisco Giants. Appropriately enough. Yeah. In fact, the Dodgers then issued a statement. Recognizing we want to invite the sisters as originally planned. The sisters, they call them. Their group is called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And they're a bunch of creepy, weird, ugly, mostly fat, degenerate men dressed as women acting like nuns, believe it or not, in public, without being arrested. In fact, they'll get center stage at Dodger Stadium. Anyway, the LA Dodgers, I believe the owner of the Dodgers, the coach, and the presidents, and the assistant to the traveling secretary, they all got on their knees on the pitcher's mound in Dodger Stadium and read from the statement, pledging to continue to work with our LGBTQ partners to better educate ourselves. But we will better educate ourselves, we promise, in the future. So they undergo another successful Marxist humiliation routine. And then later in the week, the New York Times compared the Dodgers prostrating themselves in front of the drag queens. They compared that to the Dodgers calling up Jackie Robinson, the first black player in Major League Baseball. The black is white. Black is called white. Evil is called good. Jackie Robinson defiled. Jackie Robinson defiled in Dodger Stadium by a pile of steaming pile of perverts. But I should have known from the tattoo on her left leg and the garter on her right. She'd have the card to bring me down if she played the right. She's got the jack. She's got the jack. She's got the jack. She's got the jack. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, and welcome back. I want to remind everyone, or not remind, probably just inform everyone, that Dodgers manager Dave Roberts has written that his relationship with Jesus Christ is, quote, the most important thing in my life, unquote. That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
I can't say that right after
And well, he's just the manager. He's not involved in the ownership and administration of various things happening at the stadium. But he now knows about this. Uh-huh. Now he knows.
He resigned, right?
He has not resigned as of yet, but we are waiting to hear what Dave Roberts has to say. A Dodgers pitcher, Clayton Kershaw, has Colossians 3:23 in his Twitter profile. And so Colossians 3:23, if you have your Bibles with you, let's go real quick. You come with me now. We're going to go to Colossians 3:23, and we're going to see what the... Maybe it's just about loving everyone. Let's see here. Colossians 3:23 from the King James, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. Wow. So, Clayton Kershaw, what are you going to do? Are you going to respond as though you work for men? And you're worried that if you were to lose this job, you'd never be able to pitch again. And so, you've got to do what's right by your family. And you've got to maintain your income. And so, you're just going to be quiet. And same with Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts, you say your relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your life. Is that more important than your job with the Dodgers? Is it? Because if it is, you should stand up and say, I will not participate. If you put these deviant perverts on the field, I will walk off the field. Right in front of God and everybody on TV, I'll walk and I won't coach your team. I won't manage your team anymore. And the pitcher, he should say, I will walk off the mound. Because we are going to stand up and we're going to let everybody know that there is a certain segment of the American population who we're not going to tolerate this anymore. We're not going to let a bunch of perverts molest the eyes and the minds of our children, because we know what this is all about, and we're going to stop it right now. And if that means we have to fight with you people, we're going to fight. And we're going to start right now by stopping playing along. So we'll just see what the Christians do. Because who's going to stop these perverts from destroying the world? Is it going to be the other perverts? You think it's going to be the bikers and the soccer hooligans? You think it's going to be Bill Maher's audience when they all come to realize that they've pushed it too far? Do you think? It's not. Only the Christians can stop these people from destroying civilization and destroying our children, by the way. So, and here's a perfect opportunity for a couple of Christians to stand up and draw the line. Because that's all you have to do with children behaving like out of control, overly indulged brats, which is what the whole thing is, that's what they are. And all you have to do is draw the line and give them a smack, and they'll cut it out. But everyone's afraid. And I don't understand why. Well, I don't want to lose my job. Oh, yeah. All right. So let's go from Dodger Stadium and the Defy. By the way, Jackie Robinson's family should be shouting from the rooftops, please don't throw Jackie in with a bunch of transvestites. The memory of Jackie Robinson, please. Is there anyone from the Robinson family who's going to issue a statement? All right, now, reason number 2000. I can't even talk. I'm getting so irritated. Take a breath and just try to mellow out. Reason number 2030, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. For that, we go to Montgomery County it doesn't really matter where, because it's any county, any town, anywhere in America. This just happens to be Montgomery County, Maryland, where the public schools there are being accused in a lawsuit of withholding parental notice and opt-outs for storybooks that expose three-year-olds to... I can't say that. So I can't say what the teachers were going to show the kids. I can't say it on the air. And that was three-year-olds, and then that was what they're going to do to the three-year-olds. They're going to show them stuff I can't even describe on the air. And then with fifth graders, they were going to, let's see, tell fifth graders that gender transitions don't have to make sense. That, yeah, if you're in fifth grade and you're thinking maybe it doesn't make sense to transgender, maybe it doesn't, well, it doesn't have to make sense. That's what they're going to tell the fifth graders. So that I can at least tell you about. And then finally, the school, the public school administrators and teachers there, we're going to celebrate elementary age children in, so I can't say that. You can't say that about an underage child. That's a crime to say that. And that's what they were going to have them doing at school. And they're being sued because they withheld parental notification and opt-outs. So it's not that they were molesting children, which is what that is. Talking to kids about dirty stuff is molesting children. And you should be arrested and put on trial. And if you're convicted, you should be executed for that. You shouldn't be allowed to sexualize children. You should be put to death for that. But it's not that they're being sued for doing that. They're being sued for not telling all the parents so that the parents could opt out of it. Religious law firm Beckett is representing Muslim, Catholic, and Ukrainian Orthodox parents who requested opt-outs and notifications about the child molestation, but they weren't giving them in a timely manner. Look, if you're going to molest the kids, please give me the opportunity to get my kid out, is basically what the parents and the lawyers are saying. Uh-huh. You know what, parents? If there's things like this, all of that, that I can't even read, if all of that's going on for you to opt out of, I mean, you'd have to be crazy or lazy or a fool to send your kids within a mile of that place. How could you do that? You know that they're going to be reading to kids about this and that and that? If you have to opt out of that, how about just opting out? Anyway, that's why my extremely attractive audio engineer and I, we took a look at the government schools when we started having children, and we decided to opt out. And we didn't get a form from the school to opt out. We just opted out. Turns out you don't need permission. You can just opt out. We didn't have to sue anybody. Just opted out. And we encourage you to opt out. If you have kids, if you're thinking about kids, if you have grandkids, talk to your kids about just opting out. All right. From there, we go to the murder politics file. Murder politics, I said. Mm-hmm. The National Pulse reports on leaked audio that has emerged from the DeSantis donor strategy meeting in Miami last week. That's right. Ron DeSantis has announced he's running for savior of America. He's going to try to supplant Donald Trump as America's savior and the most pro-life president since George Washington. That'll be tough to do, but believe me, the American electorate is just dumb enough to do it. Trust me. I've been watching these people. So DeSantis has a donor strategy meeting last week as he announces his candidacy for the presidency, is what it is, actually. DeSantis strategists tell high-dollar donors the following, quote, DeSantis's position is keeping abortion decisions at a state level, which, by the way, that's the same as Donald Trump. Everybody relax. We're not going to rock the boat as far as keeping abortion on the state level, just like the former savior and pro-life Donald Trump, right? So they're trying to recruit some of these big donors away from Trump world, you know? So number two, the governor DeSantis, will shift to the middle during the general election, and he'll be using a description of his position on abortion will be the following, quote, abortion will be safe, legal, and rare in Florida. The reporter for the National Post says a stunning deployment of President Bill Clinton's infamous pro-abortion catchphrase. Now, younger people in the audience may not recognize this. They'll hear Ron DeSantis say he wants abortion to be safe, legal, and rare in Florida, and they'll be like, yeah, he's our pro-life candidate. They don't realize that that was Bill Clinton's pro-choice phrase 30 years ago. So the pro-choice phrase, the pro-abortion phrase, has now become the pro-life phrase because there's nobody pro-life anymore. It's all just varying states of pro-abortion. It's just how pro-abortion are you? Are you radical pro-abortion or are you good common sense abortion? Keep it within 6 weeks or so, you know, before the heartbeat. We don't want them to feel pain. That's radical. The right to life, nobody ever even heard of it anymore. A generation from now, nobody will know that the right to life was actually guaranteed in the Constitution. They'll know, they won't know that. 5 years from now, the Constitution might not even exist. So if somebody doesn't step up and smack these kids and stop this and say, this is it, you've come this far, no further. In fact, we're pushing you back. So DeSantis pollster Ryan Tyson calls Ron DeSantis's position, quote, a major step forward for the Republican Party in moving to the middle on abortion, unquote. So there you have it. After the the pro-life position is now pro-abortion, full on, right in your face. They don't even have to try to act like there's a right to life. This is all brought to you by the lawyers in the pro-life industry who spent $1 billion overturning Roe. Thank you very much. We're winning! He said, ironically. Do I have to point out that's irony? I think I probably do. I think I probably have to do. Let's go now. It's Memorial Day weekend, which, listen to this. I was reading this article from the Washington Examiner where they're talking about Memorial Day weekend. And here's what they say about Chicago on Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend historically brings a high level of crime and violence to Chicago's streets. So that is a very sad commentary on the state of America. All the men from Chicago who died in all the wars to protect America from tyranny, their hometown, there's a bloodbath. On the weekend that they're supposed to be remembering their sacrifice, it turns into a bloodbath, a violent, an orgy of violence and crime. That's just sad. Why is that? Well, I'll give you two reasons. Governor J.B. Pritzker and Mayor Brandon Johnson. They're two of the reasons. So they, in response to the anticipated orgy of violence and crime that is anticipated, and in fact, we're in the midst of it right now. As we go to the air, there's been about 30 people shot in Chicago and 4 killed just as the Memorial Day weekend progresses, and we've still got actual Memorial Day to get through. See, heaven forbid the sun comes out and it's warm in Chicago on Memorial Day evening, because there'll just be blood in the streets. What they need in Chicago is an ice storm. That's the only thing that could prevent a violent crime epidemic exploding in the streets on Memorial Day would be if it snows. That's the only, that their only hope, only God can help them, literally. And figuratively and immediately. And so Pritzker and the new mayor, Brandon Johnson, they're going to activate what they call peacekeepers. They're going to patrol Chicago for Memorial Day weekend. They're on patrol now. They've been patrolling. And you can see how successful it's been. Only 30 have been shot. Oh, only 30. I mean, it's not like we're trying to take Bakhmut, right? It's not that bad. Only 30 shot. By the way, the peacekeepers are not police. It's kind of hard to figure out from this article what they are. They're going to be out there on the streets where the violence is happening. So one thing they are not is J.B. Pritzker or Brandon Johnson or any of their donors or any of their family members. None of those. No, no. They're going to be the peacekeepers in Chicago are part of Governor Pritzker and Mayor Johnson and the other pit bull looking ugly chick who was the mayor of Chicago before him. I forget her name. That's all part of their reimagining law enforcement. So instead of having tough cops with big guns to stop the violence, instead, they've taken about $750,000 to reimagine public safety. And they're going to use $750,000 to hire peacekeepers to, let's see, what are they going to do? Lori Lightfoot, that's the one. She was involved in all this. They're going to reach out and de-escalate. What is it? I can't even figure out what the peacekeepers are supposed to do here. I thought it was in the article. They're going to engage. They're going to engage the community and de-escalate is what they're going to do. And I kind of feel sorry for them because some of them are probably going to be shot, that or at least threatened with violence. And look at the Washington Examiner says that Pritzker and the mayor are using state funds to do this. State funds. What's that? What are state funds? I mean, that would imply that the state actually generates revenue and has money of its own. It doesn't. The state doesn't have any money of its own. The state takes all their money from us. Oh, I mean, I don't live in Chicago, but I know people who live in Chicago who work hard and pay their taxes, and that's where they get the money that they're reimagining law enforcement as the blood flows in the streets on Memorial Day when we're supposed to remember the blood of the sacrifice of our soldiers. Instead, there are mothers and brothers and sisters in Chicago who are remembering and, no, witnessing the blood of their relatives splattering all over everything. That's reimagining law enforcement there. All right, and now let's go to, this is reason number 2029 to get or keep your children out of the government schools just because of the violence. The violence in the government schools. A father of three, the Postmillennial reports that a father of three passed away after being viciously beaten by a group of men outside of his home in Baltimore. Passed away? Really? I mean, I don't know who the kids are writing at the Postmillennial, but when a man is beaten to death in front of his house, I mean, it's not like he lingered from a long illness and passed away. I mean, he was killed. Brutally, viciously killed would have been the word. Yeah, anyways, they do mention he was viciously beating. He was viciously beaten right before he passed away, which Christopher Wright, 43 years old, was inside his home when four men in their 20s and 30s showed up at the door, pounding on the door, demanding that Christopher Wright bring his fiancée's 14-year-old son out to fight. Well, 43-year-old Christopher Wright refused to produce his 14-year-old, well, not his, I'm sorry, his fiancée's 14-year-old son to fight these men. And so the men said to him, if he's not going to fight, you're going to fight, at which point they beat him to death in front of his house. Why is this reason number 2029 to get or keep your children out of the government schools? Well, Brooklyn Park Middle School has confirmed that the original fight took place there at the school. Why? Because for generations, the schools have been teaching young men that they came from nowhere, they came from nothing. There is no God that's going to hold them accountable. They should satisfy themselves. The purpose of life is happiness and satisfying yourself and achieving and being successful and all that without knowing where you came from or where you're going and without any ultimately responsible God watching over you and judging you. And so when young men get mad at each other, they get violent with each other, and sometimes they kill one another. And that's what's happened here. Reason number 2029, get or keep your children out of government school. Meanwhile, we've got a 16-year-old has been arrested after her infant twins were found dead in a garbage can. The teenager being charged with 2 counts of involuntary manslaughter. Well, wait. She's being charged with 2 counts of involuntary manslaughter, gross abuse of a corpse, endangering children, and tampering with evidence. Why is she being charged with so many charges? Well, it's the justice system. About a half a dozen families will be relying on this case over the next several years for their income. It's an industry, after all. The girl and initially faced murder charges, but the prosecutor, he was reviewing the case. He determined involuntary manslaughter was more appropriate. Why? Well, he doesn't have to say why, because killing children is legal in Cleveland. And he realized that, well, it would have been legal for, you know, it's legal to kill the baby and throw it in the trash if you follow the guidance as published by the government. This suspect appears to have merely gotten some of the approved steps out of order. The child-killing steps that we recommend, the trash can wasn't supposed to. So we're going to go with manslaughter, and that's the tragedy of the loss of the American ideal. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio. And I want to thank you for listening. And should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.